I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, Omar Abid, Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram, and Claire Limmer Abid.
Hello.
Hello. Good afternoon. Right? I'm okay. Are you all right?
Might not be afternoon when people are listening to this. You've dated good. This already.
Morning, afternoon, evening. Everybody.
That's like the Truman Show. Good afternoon, good evening, and good night.
I really like that film.
I love that film.
Yeah, you never want to watch it.
No.
Why do you not
I
like
I don't
Jim,
know.
Not like Jim Carrey.
Not massively. He's all right. Awesome. I don't know what puts me off about that film. It's just fine. Maybe it's because people love it so much that I think, meh.
We had a discussion about how we're going to go through the events of this week's maths.
Yeah, to lift the lid on our discussions prior, we're always like, do we go couple by couple or episode by episode or event by event? Because you've got like Love Hate Week, and then you've got them out the way, and then the way weekend, and then you've got the dinner party, but then the girls and the boys split into groups, and it's like they're trying to mess with us. There's too much to talk about.
What do you think of the retreat itself? For some reason, it doesn't seem as retreaty as the last year's. I don't know why.
What was different? It looked like a similar place.
Some years they've played tennis and stuff, haven't they? Or there's been like a jacuzzi. This one is a beautiful building.
Yeah, but it just seems like...
quite twee.
Yeah, they're just sat in these big places that
having
are like,
sandwiches and slagging each other off.
Maybe it's because the weather was rubbish, though.
Okay, yeah, it
maybe
could be
it, yeah, because there's been outdoorsy stuff before, hasn't there? I think.
Yes.
So maybe that was just scrapped.
And obviously, it's unfair to compare it to the Australian weather, but you remember Alyssa complaining about Duncan. I've not seen you all day. You've been with the guys.
I want attention.
Oh, yeah. My main memory of that one is Jessie streaking across the
water. Oh, yes.
So funny.
And they were playing tennis or something, weren't they?
Yeah. Something like that.
It just doesn't seem like they're having that much away fun.
Yeah. It's like they're in the apartment building. In the apartments, or they're in the retreat
around,
building,
right.
In the indoors.
Yeah. I guess they already had that spa day. They got all their sparring out. Did they?
I think not.
Well, should we talk about maybe Love Hate Week? Because there was definitely stuff that happened in that episode before they went away.
Should we start with a cute bit? Because I thought it was really sweet with Roz and Thomas, like who I just love. I absolutely love. I feel like if we rolled back to episode one of this, I'd be like, oh, they're just giving me the ick. But now I love them so much. When she was like, your hair is all over the apartment. It was such an old married couple thing to say.
That was so funny.
And then she was, I think they were really teasing each other the way she was like, I hate how you don't get out the big box of sex toys. And then he got them.
Yeah, he went and bought a big dildo. Well, not that. He said he didn't want it bigger than that.
And then she got into the outfit. I was like, wow, I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was cute. They're really cute.
when he said, "Oh, you look good in that, actually."
Like he was shocked. Like he thought you wouldn't look good in that.
Men, don't put "actually" at the end of any of your compliments.
Don't sound shocked when you tell someone they look good.
Johnny once told me I had lovely mature skin. I've never let him nip it down.
Oh, no.
And I still don't know what he meant.
Liver like, spots.
He was like, "It's a good thing." I was like, "I don't understand how." Speaking of which.
Yeah, well, we're coming
to a compliment that's not a compliment. It's not even a backhanded compliment. Oh. It's from Sean and it's just an insult.
Yeah,
I was happy with Thomas and Ross. Like you say, it was quite light. It was quite fun. He's open to you know, being more sexually adventurous. It's everyone's winning.
The way they tease each other as well feels not only very gentle but also very like reciprocated back and forth. It's not like one is the butt of the jokes. They sort of take the piss out of each other and both seem to be able, because at the beginning it was like they weren't quite gelling on their humor or like their communication, and now it's very sweet the way it's back and forth.
I quite liked that he said, "The thing I admire most about you is your honesty," because it has been difficult, but it's been worthwhile because you were honest. Yeah. We've been able to work through it. So
definitely,
it was good.
Kind of a shame that we don't see their personalities a bit more, isn't it? I know Adrian sort of said that in his interview, didn't he? About like Roz actually is quite crazy, like she said at the beginning.
Yeah,
but I know this is further down. In the rest of the episodes of the week, we barely saw them at all, really, did we?
Good. To be honest, I'm glad they're not too
because they're
boiled.
Not part of the, JJ drama. Or
but then we didn't get to see the other side of them either. It's like...
they're just gently cracking on and it's really sweet.
I don't know what you mean, though, because I remember Max said this off air that when we kept hearing Roz say, "Oh, I'm crazy. I described her as like, "Oh, it seems like she's the bloke at the office who wears a Simpsons tie." Not really that crazy. But, you know, she might be mental.
Completely mental.
I do like her Instagrams full of animals.
Oh.
Yeah, it's often here with like our farm animals or our flowers or our dogs.
So is
Matt's
from last year. He's just all about
dogs.
Well,
no, that's a different ball game. That one. We'll not go there.
Well, another couple then. Let's keep on the positive theme. Handled an issue with lightness with Paul and Tasha, where she just wanted to deal with his poor dress sense.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if, I mean, I don't have amazing fashion sense, but what was wrong with his black and white shirt?
Nothing.
Well, you didn't understand that either.
It was big gingham, and
I thought
quite
it was
liked
fine.
It. Yeah, it was fine. It was quite monochrome. Well, obviously it was monochrome. Yeah. And I was like, this is not an offensive shirt. Some people have like proper Hawaiian shirts in the back of their cupboard. Some people, well, I have. Johnny has a shirt with pineapples on, and now we found out that's a sign for swinging, so he's too scared to wear it. Or is he?
Special occasions only.
I'll wear it to the podcast night out. But yeah, hang that on, shirt.
You said we could come round yours, actually.
Oh, yeah. There's a theme.
But Paul, there was nothing wrong with that shirt. And I know that it was like gentle ribbing, but in a way, like if you're gonna like pick apart your partner, some people take that to heart. He didn't seem like he was, but he was like, "It's new, it's gonna go with everything." I was like, "That better not end up in landfill. I'll be really cross if that ends up in landfill." If that shirt's brand new out of Zara in it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it was like this does not need throwing away.
I saw on Twitter somebody put that who Tasha reminds them of. And I think he's fairly accurate in terms of mannerisms and things. I've got a few of these to sprinkle in throughout.
Yeah,
who is it?
Oh no.
Kerry Katona. Of Atomic Kitten.
Right. I mean, I know who Kerry Katona is.
Old again.
Are they both... is it a similar area? Because she's from, like... not the Wirral. She's from...
Warrington.
From Warrington, that's it.
Yeah, Tasha's from Leeds. But it's mannerism. I can definitely see it.
I think I know what you mean.
I can definitely see it.
Right. Well...
I think I know it.
How does Kerry Katona feel about giant gingham? If she'd be more in tune with it. I just felt a bit for Paul because there's nothing wrong with what he wears.
Yeah.
I mean, the biggest accusation fashion-wise, probably a more accurate accusation, is that he's a bit bland. I mean, that's just the shirt you can buy in a number of high street retailers, which is fine. I wouldn't wear that particular shirt because it wouldn't suit me, but I'd buy stuff like that. It's perfectly fine.
Never noticed his dress sense either way, particularly.
No,
you know, it's
neither.
Not bad.
Me
and
neither.
Maybe it doesn't stand out, but then it might not stand out to viewers because we've had like Nathaniel with his dress. You know, he has a certain style.
Yeah.
You know, we've had different styles, so maybe his just doesn't stand out as much.
Mm-hmm. I wonder if, like, it's hard for Tasha to find negatives, because Paul, to me, is such an angel.
Yeah.
Maybe she's just like, oh, fashion, that's a low-hanging fruit. I'll just make fun of his shirt.
Yeah.
But yeah, he seemed to take it quite well.
He did.
He's not somebody who gets riled. It doesn't seem like he's somebody who takes offence or gets riled up. I love him.
Should we move on to a bit of minor conflict?
Yes.
Arthur and Laura's love-hate week. When he said, your mood swings, and she responded by ripping up the paper saying, oh, fucking mood swings.
No. No, she didn't. You know. In defence of her. It was a bit left field, because I think Laura's actually very good at holding her nerve and being quite level and fair. She gives people the chance to finish their sentences. We know some of us don't.
Some of them don't.
I know. And actually, when he said mood swings, she did look a bit confused. Mm. And then did he not admit he sort of made it up because he couldn't think of anything? Did you hear afterwards? She was like, did you mean to put that? He was like, oh, well, I didn't have much time. Or
he said something like, I couldn't think of, after your friends left, you were sad. Or I can't remember what it was, but it was something had mood happened swings. And she felt something about that.
She feels emotions.
No, and to be fair, it's a cheap shot to say. Oh,
To a woman. Cheap shot.
Well, no, from me, I mean, which I'm definitely not beneath making, but to say, oh, you have mood swings, and then when they react, you go, you see?
Yeah, I told you.
Because I was gonna tweet about it, but then I was thinking, it's that thing of, like, if people go, oh, you're really angry, how do you, like, disprove it? Just go, nah, man, I'm chill.
Well, know, it's like, you it's
know,
very hard.
It's an accusation that you can't, and in a more serious context, like, I remember talking about one of the previous series when it was said to a woman in sort of a gaslighting situation. I think it was Alexis. She stormed out of the commitment ceremony.
Right.
Because what else can you do? It's like, you either sit there and take it.
It's difficult. And actually, well, obviously everyone has moods.
Yeah.
But I don't think Arthur even meant it. I think that was what was funny.
Yeah.
I think he was scrambling. And then when she pulled him up on it, he was like, I ran out of time. Or whatever he said, it was quite cute. I just find him very endearing.
Yeah.
It was funny. But that was the other thing that she said to him, that he interrupts. I can't pretend your name didn't come up in our...
We can have our own love hate week.
Write them all down on a big piece of paper.
On the back of the maths jigsaw.
Saz, Arthur. If you squint, we're the same person. I tell people I love them way too soon. Same as Arthur.
Are you a Neolithic simian?
Yeah, really, I am. But then she said something really sweet about him that I wrote down, was that he has pure intent. That was a really poetic compliment to say someone has pure intent. And I would say that was a very accurate description of how Arthur seems. It seems like his intentions are always pure.
Yeah.
What we've seen.
Yeah. He just doesn't think them through in terms of how he wants to deliver that.
Yeah. And it is a bit frustrating about the white lies, because we saw maybe two, even like one or two at the beginning, and it's become like quite a consistent
thing.
But then, to be fair, we did just say he sort of was reaching for something.
That's true, actually.
Oh, yeah, so he said something that actually wasn't really
true.
And then he took it back. So this is what Laura
gets. I've disproved my own point. Yeah, no, you're right. I guess he sort of fills the space with words that he doesn't necessarily know if he stands by until he's put... Like when he was laying into Thomas, do you remember a few episodes back? Yeah.
At the spa?
Yeah. And then he was like, oh, no, I didn't really mean it.
Yeah.
Like,
say sorry, admit you. Say sorry for being a mug.
Yeah.
I'm a mug.
Aww.
Sorry.
So, yeah, maybe he just needs to put a bit of space. I mean, this is really rich from me, but put a bit of space between his thoughts and his words. I'm sorry, I remembered another thing about Arthur.
That's all right.
When they went to the gym and he only managed 30 seconds
he was
on the treadmill.
Shattered.
Was he set up by the producers? Because that made no sense.
No sense. How many hours does he play tennis for?
It was bizarre.
Yeah.
Laura was like, we're still warming up. I don't understand. She was doing like a gentle stair climb and he was doing a gentle jog and then he was on the floor. And she was like, you've done 30 seconds. The cynic in me was thinking, having just interviewed Adrian, Adrian says, sometimes the producers ask you to say things and you just say, no, that's not very me. Mm-hmm. Did they ask Arthur to be a wet wipe and be on the floor?
And he just went along with
and
it.
And he was like, sure.
Yeah.
Maybe he was just feeling rough from the night before or something.
Yeah, a bit hungover.
Maybe. Or maybe it was
too
a white
much
lie
cardio.
He was absolutely
This will make her love me. So the new couples went to a bar and had some cocktails and stuff. Mark and Mark Sean. And Sean.
Matt Adrian and relaxed. Just chilled.
Yeah. I mean, they've been in it too soon. They had to show them, because otherwise that's a bit cruel.
Yeah, and I guess they gave them things to talk about, which I now can't really remember.
Well, I just remember that Adrienne said she wishes Matt was a bit more of a chatterbox or a bit more extroverted. And I guess they're still stumbling around the whole show-off thing. And he's quite quiet, she's a bit louder. Yeah. And can they find their feeling with that? There wasn't anything like major. He just looked a bit uncomfortable. I don't think he's a chatty Kathy.
Yeah. They asked Mark his biggest fear, and he said it was monochrome gingham shirts.
From New Look.
Oh, because I do remember your tweet about Mark's biggest fear being getting stuck in Primark, which he did reply to. Did you see that?
No.
I think he either put it on his stories or he sent us a message on Instagram saying, no, he really loves Primark, especially the PJs.
Oh, well, there we go. I wasn't expecting
and
that.
And a certain range, which I've now forgotten. But there you go.
I don't think there was anything like major to take home from that little interaction, was it? It was just, you know, here's some TV time for you guys.
Yeah.
Sorry, I mean, we brought you in so late.
Yeah. Sean and Matt sat at the bar just having another drink going, so is it going well? Yeah, it's going. How's it going with you? Yeah, it's going all right. Yeah. Is that good enough, guys?
It's going to make the cut. Yeah. I hate everybody.
But I think the biggest one for me was probably George and Peggy.
I know.
The squatting video where he was saying, look, I've got nothing to hide. Yes, that's right. I see you both the look on your faces. We're talking about the squatting video again.
Oh, man.
It was quite funny, though, the way they did it. The way that we watched Peggy watch it was quite funny, wasn't it? Because we could see it so clearly and the music was so random.
But you know,
it went on forever.
That's what I was going to say. You know, like, there's a certain style of documentary filming that's quite uncomfortable, and it stays longer than it needs to, and it's sort of that Louis Theroux style of like hold the camera too long. It was like that on Peggy. I swear it was on Peggy for about 10 minutes watching this video, and she didn't blink. And he was waiting for her reaction, but she wasn't really giving anything away. Mm-hmm. My thing is, something is only embarrassing if you're embarrassed. Something is only shameful if you're ashamed.
Yeah.
George isn't embarrassed or ashamed. I just called him George. I dropped my French. He doesn't seem embarrassed or ashamed. So she can't put that on him. You can't force somebody to feel embarrassed. And I'm pleased that he doesn't feel embarrassed about it, because he's got it on the internet.
Mm.
And it's like she wants him to feel ashamed of it.
I think he felt awkward, though, watching her watch it. He felt uncomfortable, didn't he?
Because it's not the natural. It's like when people say to me, outside of the context of me doing a gig, I'll tell us a joke. Just like, I don't really have like set up punchline kind of jokes. It's it's just, then this isn't really the setting, you know?
Yeah.
I could understand why he was awkward in that sense. But you know what really helps people loosen up and not feel awkward is tapping them on the head with a pen and telling them they've got a...
Oh, that got you that bit, didn't it?
I would think this was all right if you didn't have one of them.
You didn't like that.
But you do have one of them.
It was incredibly condescending. But I'm pleased, because in the love-hate bit, he did say you're judgmental, which needed to be said. Because if she's going to say you're embarrassing and you haven't got career aspirations and I don't respect your hobbies in inverted commas, passions in inverted commas, then he's allowed to say she's judgmental, because really that's true. Like, it's
if it's not for her, it's not for... I get it, it's totally juvenile. I wouldn't do it.
Give me the ick, but I wouldn't I would try not to make someone feel so humiliated about it, because you'd just be like, it's not for me, it's what you do.
Let's see, just leave. Like, at this point, if that's stuff
it seems
bothers,
to be a real stickler.
Yeah. It does.
But she keeps saying she wants her family's approval, she wants the group's approval, she wants her friends at home's approval. So she's more worried about, is everyone going to take him seriously?
Yeah.
And this is a very like public thing to have, a YouTube channel or whatever, Twitch, whatever it is. It's very public. It's out there. People can Google him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like he says embarrassing. It's not like he says embarrassing things off the cuff and then they're gone forever. It's like it is quite
a
permanent.
A
it's a permanent record of his sense of humour. Can they move past it? And if they can't, then stop wasting everyone's time. And
But just going back to the thing with the pen, because I know that got you.
It really annoyed
you, that did. I just have a feel that she has heard that directed at her or people around her before. That had a feel to me of the type of thing that a man would say to a woman. What are you showing off your body for? You got one of these, go do that. Do you know what I mean? It had a feel of like a gender role reversal sort of in
the
that moment.
The whole thing has felt quite gender role reversal, which was funny because when you did the tweet about her going out with the hot pants on and she's making fun of him for, I know it's a different scenario, but I know what you mean. It does feel quite gendered and quite reversed.
And I think she's probably heard that before. She's attractive, she puts a lot of effort into how she looks, obviously, you know, so it's like, has she heard that kind of message before about what she should and shouldn't be doing because she looks a certain way? So then but she's also intelligent, so she should use that and not, you know, go off her looks or whatever. Ultimately, and it felt like she was wanting to communicate that to George, but it's totally different for him. Because he's not
feel like that.
Doing it because of how he looks. He's doing it for other reasons. But I think it's connected to something in her related to perhaps being judged for showing off how you look or, you know, going down that route somehow.
She also just has quite conservative values, I would say. She seems like somebody who, like, she has in her head what's right and wrong. This to her is black and white wrong. It's not what she keeps saying, like, this is not what someone does in a relationship. This is not. And it's like she has this, like, invisible rule book and he's operating outside of it, whereas I guess most people would, well, I'm not saying she's not normal, but most people would be trying to like find a way to meet in the middle or add a bit of colour to the rule book, but it seems quite black and white.
And
it's like, does Twitch make him happy, yes or no? Do you want him to be happy, yes or no? Is it something he's going to bring into the relationship or is it in his past? And it's like they keep getting so stuck on it, and it's
well I think he said obviously it's in his past because the videos are there, the historical things, and he said it's something he wouldn't do going forward for her benefit. So,
which he shouldn't even have to it's a level of compromise, but
I equate it to me doing stand-up. Claire's heard my material and I talk about us
anti-women.
That has to change.
I have to think about, like, when I think of jokes about relationships or whatever, would I be happy saying them in front of you? I've wondered to myself, like, would I just say to you, look, you're probably better off not coming from this from this point, because I know you wouldn't enjoy it. It's just awkward. You know, I won't necessarily mean what I say, but it still might make you uncomfortable. It's that discussion. But if Peggy's this put off by that, like, just pack it in. It's already, like, it's not that bad. Because I did want to come to that tweet where I made a quite flippant comparison when she was walking out with a cut jeans on. And it, you
assless
know.
Chaps.
They were like chaps, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
And it's not the same thing. He's gone out of his way. You know, she should be able to wear what she wants.
Yeah.
And he should be able to do what he wants with his...
And wear what he wants. That's the thing. It's
But the thing is, they're not that far apart as things to compare, because we were expecting something horrendous. It's like, it's stupid and juvenile.
I think she's really embarrassed on his behalf. He doesn't feel embarrassed, so she keeps like, she keeps really laying into him to try and force this humiliation, which he's not feeling.
Yeah.
She's like, why don't you feel humiliated? This is humiliating content. Why don't you feel humiliated? And he's like, well, because it's quite funny. And I think she's failing to see that people have different senses of humour. And what they need to work out is this something they can get over? It looks like potentially not.
No.
But now week 5 or 6 and it's the same conversation over and over again.
Again, though, don't you think that is a gender thing? Like, if a woman was, you know, paid, I know it's baguettes and it's not money, it's different, but something's exchanging hands. If a woman was paid to squat away from a camera so that everybody could see her behind and she had tiny little shorts on, it would be sexual. It would be.
Yeah, women's bodies
Whereas for George, he's like, well, it's not sexual.
Yeah.
But perhaps that's difficult for Peggy to understand, because if she were to do it, it would be.
Mm-hmm.
We engage with women's bodies in a different way, usually, than we engage with men's. I completely know what you're saying. And I think she's... Yeah, I mean, she just, it's just a massive obstacle for her.
Yeah.
And it's a shame in a way, because part of being in a relationship is like wanting your partner to live their best life of... I guess feeling their most fulfilled and happy and themselves, and she's not asking him the right questions of like, does this content make you feel happy and fulfilled? And if he says yes, then how can we bring it in? She's not asking how it makes him feel, she's just saying how it makes her feel.
Yeah.
I guess is the problem. It's like, if he's been doing this, surely it's meant something to him, even if it's just for a laugh or for money or whatever. Like, what has it meant to him? She hasn't asked that. Well, from what we've seen, she's just said how it makes her feel.
Well, this actually links to something we were talking about last night with them at the retreat dinner party. I know it's jumping ahead, but it sort of connects.
How dare you? We agreed a structure.
Because he was basically saying, I don't care what anyone else in the group thinks about me, whereas Peggy is very concerned about what everyone
else...
Yeah,
almost at the polar opposites in terms of the entire group. He cares the least and she almost cares the most, I'd say, out of everybody.
Yeah.
And the discussion we had was Claire saying he doesn't have to care what other people think, but he has to care that his wife is bothered. In the same way that Brad should have gone... why are you bothered about their external validation?
Yeah,
you shouldn't have said that. Yeah,
we're all human.
Yeah,
exactly. He should have had that response. She should be, like you said, taking into account what does he get from doing this activity. But she's not. She's just going, this is how it makes me feel. So fuck you, George, basically.
Yeah.
And if he took that... I don't even want to talk about this video anymore. But if he took that away from his life, what gap does it leave? What does it do in his life that makes him happy? And what could be there instead?
Without the hand of a strong woman... Who knows what he'll get up to? This is what we're learning about. Which brings us neatly to Luke and Jay. This is the start of it, because the Love and Hate week, he said that she was a bit of a pushover.
Oh.
Which is a horrible... It's a horrible thing to be called. And it's a... I don't know. Has he used the actual wording?
What did he write on his card? Do we remember?
He said something like, you don't tell me off, or you don't... It's quite a mothering role. It's quite like a, I'm a naughty boy, you need to tell me when I'm being naughty, and like otherwise...
That sounds
I'm
sexual.
Well, yes, yeah, sorry. I'm sorry, I'm trying to think of a way to say it that doesn't sound sexual. I can be really stupid. I need to be told I'm stupid because I don't have the maturity to control my own behaviour. It's almost like he needs her. And I do get it. Like, sometimes you want to be with someone who's like, come on, wind yourself in. Because there's a back and forth from both of you of like, they tell you the truth, like they help you grow or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's almost like he's punishing her for just being herself and not being aggressive. I don't know. It's a difficult one. She's so lovely and she doesn't come across like a pushover at all.
No,
she's a really strong character.
In fact, she's the one who, when there's arguments amongst the girls, she's the sort of moderating it and being the referee of
life. Often.
But I do think that I can see that there is probably a difference in how she is with the girls.
Agreed.
And how she is in an intimate relationship. Because if you think right at the beginning, she was, oh, I don't think you'll fancy me or what, you know, she had all those insecurities and they can kind of play out in that way of, are you okay? Are you okay?
And
let's make sure everything's okay. Let's not challenge, you know, kind of pleasing the other person so they don't go, so they don't leave.
And also,
and maybe he's picking up on that.
Yeah.
Whereas in the group, she's maybe firmer in her friendship. She's got firm relationships with other women and you know, other close friends, so it's different.
Well, just to use, because we're going to come to the big examples which Luke used later on, but he said something about like, if I've been watching football all day and you don't want to watch football, just tell me to change the fucking channel.
Oh, I don't remember that bit.
Yeah, it was just
not just your own relationship?
Fucking I wish I could watch some football. Jesus Christ.
You've got maths to watch, there's no space for football.
Yeah,
I do. It's like, I understand what he's saying, but you can't ask Jay to be something she's not.
Yeah.
And is what he's asking her to do just what he should be doing himself?
Exactly.
Like monitoring your own behaviour, being a grown up. You don't need another grown up to tell you how to behave. Like,
if you've been watching Super Sunday 3 games in a row, maybe you should think after the second one.
Yeah.
Maybe Jay wants to watch something.
It's not really fair on the other person to give them the role of like lunch monitor or whatever over your behaviour. And I guess we're going to come to it more down the line. This is still Love Hate Week, but it gets worse. Spoiler alert, it gets worse.
Did we get to hear what Jay said about Luke that she didn't like?
I don't think we did.
Yes, we did. And it's relevant.
Okay,
well,
I've forgotten. Oh, good.
She said she feels he overshares his opinion.
Oh, in the group?
Yeah.
I actually wrote something down because I thought it was actually quite nice of him. He said like, oh, just give me, he's like,
tap
just
me
tap
on the leg.
Yeah, he was like, just tap me on the leg, which I actually kind of liked. Maybe I got the wrong end of the stick and it was a stupid thing to say, but I quite liked it because, you know, like you have your little couple secret signals and like, maybe not, even like in platonic friendships, there's things where you give each other a look and you understand that means like, don't mention that. He doesn't know about that or X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And I quite liked the little secret, like tap me on the leg and then I'll know.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like her fully monitoring his behavior. It was more like, oh crap, okay, I'll respect I think, because he does weigh in a lot.
Oh yeah, definitely. It was funny, and this genuinely isn't a criticism of him, because I thought it was funny and I can understand it myself, and he goes, tap me on the leg and then I'll consider. I thought, yeah, fair enough.
This is you all over this.
He loves dipping in. He loves having a...
I'll consider it.
Yeah. We've talked about this, haven't we? And that when we're in group situations,
I understand some secret signals.
I now understand that Omar does anything that he thinks will make other people laugh.
Right.
So it's not necessarily a shock to you that would be his priority. So it's not anything bad about me. I now understand. It's just I know that person will laugh, so I'm going to say it.
Yeah.
And then we have to deal with it afterwards.
Well, when do we ever have to deal with that? Pitch it perfectly every time.
You pitch it perfectly for the lols. Yeah.
So soon after getting to the retreat, they sort of divided them up into girls and boys.
And always love
as soon as they could.
I always love with the same sex couple where it's like, Mark, you're going with the girls.
Yeah.
You've been there. Sean, you get to be with the boys. Divas, unite.
But then, of course, there was the bombshell.
Oh.
Quite quickly. Yes. Quite soon after the split,
this is where.
And they're just sort of randomly talking. They were settling in, drinking their prosecco and their beers and what have you, and then bombshell.
This is where I start to get cross with this program. Because it makes me feel like such a fool. Because cut to last episode, and I was like, they didn't even show the mask.
I was thinking about
that. And then they've gone back, send them a postcard. And then stupid old me sat there, and here they come. And I was like, well, obviously.
Yeah, how didn't we predict
that?
It
makes me feel so stupid. Yeah. Like, I've been watching this for years. Obviously, I should have seen that coming.
Yep.
And then, like, we can't tell ourselves this is about relationships. It's 99.9% recurring about the drama. You don't bring a couple like that back unless you want to ruffle a few feathers, rifle a few guns.
But I know, we saw some of the wonderful sparky chat they had then.
I mean, in fairness, now I almost do want to draw a line under it and treat them as another couple, because otherwise I don't want to just be going like, oh, what are they doing here? What are they doing here?
Yeah. And obviously, back now, aren't they?
I like Ella. I want to see Ella happy. I think she deserves a chance. And like, see a few more crazy outfits.
Yeah, that's it. They're back, fine. I don't agree with it, but whatever. Let's just get on with it. I'm sick of talking about it. I mean, Ella came in.
She went, I'm back, bitches.
Yeah. All guns blazing. I mean, all the cheating drama aside, I don't know if I would like her anyway, just the way she came in and was just like, basically, fuck you, Erica, and then later on, fuck you, Jordan.
I know.
Like, what's up?
Yeah.
I know it. It's hard to know, isn't it, what we're not seeing? Because there must just be a general demeanour around camp, around the block of flats of who gives who eye rolls in the lift. And, like, we don't see everything, do we? And I guess, like, we've never understood why Tasha took such a dislike to Erica straight away, but we didn't see the first time they met necessarily. Or
yeah.
We did. I guess we did, but, you know, after that. Anyway, yeah, they're back. Ella and JJ.
Yeah. And Mel did say that other couples who've been invited back into the experiment have flourished.
Mm-hmm. Can we think of any examples?
I wondered who they were.
Can we think of any examples?
No.
Matt and Whitney broke up soon after.
That wasn't flourishing. But yeah, I guess.
I suppose they were still together by the time the programme ended.
Yeah.
So.
Dan and Jessica from the Australian one.
And that.
They almost broke up on air. There's a really good.
That final dinner party.
Yeah. There's a really good clip of them, like, after it had been aired, being interviewed live. And he's going, oh God, watching it back, it's like, I do feel bad about what we've done. And it's like, and she's going to him, don't, let's not talk about it now.
Oh my gosh.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. But I guess, like you said, like, we'll draw a line under it because they are back. And otherwise, we're just talking about the same thing over and over again, aren't we? Like,
yeah.
I feel sorry for Bianca.
We got away with it for 5 weeks.
But I do think they were both welcomed with almost open arms. It wasn't like the whole group is against them. Like, Ella has a lot of allies. JJ has a lot of allies.
Which I find weird.
I know. But I guess, like, better that way than them having... Oh, I don't know. I mean, for drama's sake, quite nice that there's not everyone hating on them.
Yeah.
I mean, JJ does seem like the blokes are mostly just like, yeah, welcome back, fine. Other than Jordan. Can we talk about Jordan for a minute?
Okay.
Got your permission. I feel like he's often the voice of reason.
Yes.
And he gets such hate. I understand that he's quite outspoken, both him and Erica are, and that way they're quite well matched, I guess. But often Jordan is like, you shouldn't talk that way about your wife, or you shouldn't. And I feel like I'm on his side.
Mm-hmm.
But then he keeps getting criticised for sticking his foot. Do you know what I mean?
There's something, though, that's tipping it into having a different feel.
And being, like, sort of stirring the pot up.
Yeah. Because I think at first I would have agreed with you. Yeah. But then as the episodes have gone on this week, it has felt a bit like, oh, is there something else happening
here? And again,
happening
we're
here?
Not seeing, yeah.
Yeah, because now seemingly they all agree.
I know, that's what I don't get. It's like 9 against 1 and I'm like, yeah. Why is no one... And even like, I feel like Thomas is often a voice of reason. Mm. And Thomas was saying like, oh, mate, I can't remember, but I felt like nobody was standing up for Jordan. I was like, well, often Jordan is saying like what feels like the right side of history.
Yeah.
Jordan's like, well, you'd only say that if you want to cheat, or why are you saying that about your wife? And
yeah.
And I think he was the voice of reason, and he was like, you wouldn't want to hurt your wife, so mm-hmm. why would you cheat even if you'd never get caught?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because why would you want to cheat if you're in love with somebody or you're yeah. working on your relationship? And I was like, yes.
But there must be something about what he says or how he says it yeah. that's getting everybody's backs up. Because it was George, or maybe. It was George that said, it's actually often offensive.
It's poison.
Poison?
Dripping poison into yeah. the group.
That just felt like, so
what he said. I think the thing with Jordan that I find is, I agree with a lot of what he says. I feel sometimes, yes, he is often asked for his opinion, so it's hard to then ask him and then slag him off for giving it.
Yeah.
But he does seem to go on a bit. He does seem to
really... Do you think it's that?
Like a dog with a bone, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there's a little bit of that. He could say, like, look, Luke, the example you've given is poor and doesn't make sense, da da da. But then, I mean, obviously, Luke, we're going to come to... Mm. I think he can't control himself to a certain extent, so he's always going to bite back, and then that winds Jordan up, and they just escalate upwards.
Yeah.
Because it's interesting, because Jordan's not actually shouty. He manages to stay quite level. And what he says, not to me, I'm normally on his side. So I'm like, he's getting a lot of hate for this.
Yeah.
And I do wonder if it's the young thing, because he is
maybe
quite young.
Yeah, and because they still see him as a newcomer.
Yeah, how dare he have an opinion.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting in the group setting when they started talking about Laura and Arthur. They were going around and Thomas says to Arthur, Laura talks down to you. George says, Laura talks down to you. Luke says, Laura talks down to you. Jordan says it. And Arthur's like, you fucking what?
I know. That's what I thought. I was like, why is Jordan being like the face of everything that's wrong with the world?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Is it his hair?
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I totally agree. I noticed that as well. It was like everybody said the same thing, but only Jordan is like
I wonder if the sacrificial lamb.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was just past the parcel, though. At some point, Arthur had to respond, and Jordan was holding the time bomb.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what do we think about people's opinions on Laura and Arthur?
I don't feel like we've seen her be condescending towards him. So it's hard to be on the lad's side, and easier to be on the side of she's clearly a confident, intelligent woman.
Mm.
And the fact that all those lads seemingly signed with Luke's nonsense, for example, like I feel like they're all sticking up for each other.
When
you know what I mean?
There's a bit of
mob mentality going on, I think.
Yeah. I felt a bit guilty because what they were saying about Arthur and Laura was sort of what I said last week about he's sort of like her cute little sidekick. He's sort of like her pet. And I didn't mean it in a bad way against her, because I actually think they're very sweet to each other and they treat each other quite well from what we've seen. So I didn't quite understand it. But it is weird when everyone in the group is saying the same thing.
Yeah.
Because it does make you think, what are we missing?
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's probably a way that Laura talks to Arthur which is just naturally, she is quite intelligent together, confident, so maybe there's a way of talking where it can appear condescending and she doesn't mean it that way, just because she is using loftier language or something. I don't know.
There's the whataboutery, though, when she said to Thomas, didn't you call him a Neanderthal?
That was brilliant.
Neolithic simian.
Yeah.
and you know, that as though that had won the argument. But he was right, that was a red herring, just because he's done. I think the point he was making is, yeah, I did say that, but I was having an argument with Arthur, which we acknowledged and have now resolved.
And we're not in a romantic relationship where there should be an equity to how we talk to each other. I don't think we've seen it, but it wouldn't surprise me if there was a bit of a power imbalance, because we've sort of noticed that ourselves.
Yeah.
But I don't think Laura is doing it out of cruelty or... Do you know what I mean? I don't think she's talking down to him knowingly.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't. And the main thing is Arthur doesn't think she is.
But I don't know. Just because he's he says, if it's not bothering me, why is everyone else embarrassed? I don't know if I,
like, but do you think he's noticed it and it's not bothering him, or it doesn't exist and it's not bothering him?
Well, we heard him say at one point, I've asked you to correct me, and
that's true.
So I feel there's a lot of stuff. I think it's something that we're just not going to know without being there, which isn't great for the purposes of our content.
Yeah, I did catch one bit that I feel bad saying because I do really, really like Laura, but there was a point where she's sort of holding his hand and they're speaking to Cameron. She was like, he's been growing as a person. Me too. And she added herself into it. Did you notice that?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think there was a case of, like, she's helped him discover a bit more of his own confidence, but then she added herself into the mix to not make it sound like it was like Operation Let's Encourage Arthur.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like growing as a couple.
I'm helping this poor child.
Yeah. I'm his benefactor. No, yeah, I think we shall see.
Yeah.
It'll play out, won't it?
Yeah.
It'll play out.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
So on one side of the stately home, they're slagging off Arthur and Laura, but then the girls were laying into Peggy and Georges, and nobody seems to like Georges from the girls' group. Not really sure why. They must be seeing something that we're not seeing, or they've all just decided that he's not good enough for her, or they don't suit. I mean, obviously, we're thinking they don't suit at this point, and the girls are like, what are you clinging on to?
Yeah.
She doesn't really stand up for him either, necessarily, because, like we've talked about before, she wants the group's approval of her partner.
Well, you said off-air as well that it's weird, as they're disliking him more, we're liking him more, we're going in opposite directions.
I know, he seems to be, like, week on week, gentler, more open, he's willing to change things for her, and he, like I said, I think I was saying off-air, he doesn't talk over her, he's quite respectful in a way that he doesn't always get back of his own... like hobbies quote-unquote, passions quote-unquote. So then they had the question box with the different groups, the boys and girls, and one of the questions was, obviously it makes me laugh when there's a voiceover or the experts are like, we're looking to build their relationship, who would you stick or twist with? Like, oh, how helpful. Is the grass greener with some other fitty? The one that stuck out to me, and probably the same with you guys, was Sean.
You like Sean?
He dug himself a hole.
He dug himself a hole, but it seemed like he meant what he said, because he was like, oh, you know, if there was somebody else, maybe I would. And I'm like,
well, on a factual level, I get it. There isn't anyone there for him to twist with, so it's sort of pointless, but... don't say it that way.
Yeah.
He basically said, oh, slim pickings.
Yeah.
And I
I've
was
got
like,
no choice.
I was like, I know Mark's like weak spot is feeling rejected, and that is like pure rejection of, oh, if there was somebody else, maybe I'd consider it.
Yeah.
Oh dear, it was awkward.
And
as
then
hell.
I didn't really understand what he was getting at, because he was sort of saying, yeah, but my usual thing to do would be to run.
Yeah.
But I'm not doing that. It was as if he was sort of saying, well, usually I would say twist, but I can't because there isn't anyone. But I'm trying to do it differently anyway.
Yeah, aren't I good?
So I'm going to stick.
Yeah,
yeah. But normally I would have fucked off.
Yeah,
by now,
but I'm not. So aren't you proud of me?
Yeah, but I haven't got the option to fuck off because there's no one else to go. It was
so
like
the option's been taken away.
Yes, I've been forced to just do something different. Aren't you proud of me?
Yeah, but it's got nothing to do with you.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I don't think Sean fully meant it that way. But he mostly meant it that, oh, it was really, really awkward. And then if we cut to, like, Mark confronting him about it, because that's obviously part of the same conversation, he explained it even worse that time around.
to Mark, in that, yeah.
And Mark wasn't taking it because he was like, no, this is hugely insulting what you're saying. He's like, no, 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 you don't understand. I'm like, he has understood completely. Oh, dear. And I felt for Mark in that moment. Because, like, he just needs that constant reassurance, which I guess could be exhausting from Sean's side.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if my partner said, oh, no, I said stick because there's no one to twist with.
Yeah.
Like, shoot me in the head, why don't you?
Exactly. You're my only choice.
Aww. How sweet.
Thanks.
It was funny that Mark was refusing to chink glasses with him at the dinner party.
I actually wonder, though, what other conversations they had about it, because they were still at the dinner party.
Yeah.
They were still sort of okay with each other from what we saw. So they must have figured it out somehow.
I know.
Somehow he dug himself out of that hole, I suppose. But
what we saw on camera was painful.
Yeah.
Some of them wouldn't make very good lawyers. Cough Luke.
Talk about someone digging a hole for themselves. Are we gonna come on to the dinner party and the main story being Luke and Jay?
Yeah. So obviously, he took himself off when he felt ill, but it was almost like the whole thing had been orchestrated, because it was like, in his absence, the whole thing then blew up more. Mm-hmm. So obviously, everybody listening will know, with the boys, he said, oh, but if you had the chance to rob a bank and nobody would find out, mm-hmm. being an allegory for would you cheat? Is allegory the right word? Analogy, metaphor. That's where I was with Jordan. Jordan was like, well, no, mate, because that's hurtful and why would you?
Yeah.
So I was team Jordan on that, but obviously Luke was really digging his heels in. And all the blokes were like, oh, maybe. And then when he left the dinner party and Jay found out, she was crestfallen.
Yeah.
And it was really horrible to watch. Really horrible to watch.
Arthur's ill-timed joke.
Yeah. I know. That was
the final straw for Jay, wasn't it? Bless her.
Gosh.
When the lads were sat around having a chat about their marriages, because the context is going to be important. It's important for Luke that the context is accurate.
It was very important, yeah.
The way it started was they were talking about each other's marriages, and George said to Luke, you said something to me the other day which I found very interesting, that if you could go out and get a girl's number, not that you're a cheater, but that you might consider it, even though you would never do it, but you might consider it, you would never cheat, because you know that Jay would just be like, oh, all right. Literally the next thing we see is Luke saying, you know, if you could rob a bank
and get a million pounds
ten,
or whatever.
10 million or whatever.
Oh, it was 100%.
You would do it.
There wasn't a doubt in my mind that it was a allegory / metaphor, whatever word you want to use, for cheating.
Yeah.
There wasn't, it couldn't have been anything else.
Well, that was the context.
They're not planning a heist.
That was what they were talking about.
This isn't Ocean's 14. It was definitely an example of, would you get away with it? And that's where I was team Jordan, because he was like, well, no, because it's, why would you want to cheat on your partner?
Yeah.
It was that school, but it was that boys will be boys shit of, if nobody finds out, what can you get away with?
It's exactly.
Like, well, is your life about what you can get away with?
Yeah.
Or is your life about making solid, dependable commitments and paying your mortgage on time?
I also like related it to when Ella was saying to Jordan, like straight away when he came out for the dinner party at 10:30 in the morning. You all would have done it. You all would have done it. It's like, well, no, we wouldn't. Like, you can think we're all as morally corrupt as you. That's extreme.
No,
that's extreme.
I know.
But the point is that we wouldn't do it because it's not the right thing to do.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
you can't know what other people would do. So it was wrong of Ella to just like blanket say everybody would have done the same. But also, I guess Jordan doesn't know in his scenario what he would have done. None of us can know, given. But you can't blanket say everybody would.
To use the bank robbing analogy, I don't know if I would take the 10 million or not. But honestly, I would like to think I wouldn't, because it's not the right thing to do. But if I did do it, I'd be 10 million pounds richer. But I would know myself, I'm a bit of a piece of shit.
Yeah.
And people like might think, oh, well, that's really daft because, you know, you've got 10 million. It's like, yeah, but then it would bother me that I'm a bit of a piece of shit.
And every time someone said, how did you make your riches? You'd be like, I can't remember.
Have you played the postcode lottery? No, it was the whole context thing. And again, editing. So we don't know what there might have been. 40 minutes of conversation cut out between George and Luke. But from what we've seen, it's literally the getting a girl's number chat, George saying that to Luke saying about the bank robbing. Yeah. In a conversation where we know they were talking about the state of their marriages.
And to be honest, even if, and I can't believe this for a second, even if the bank robbing was about something other than marriage or relationships, he did still say, I think I could go get a girl's number and she wouldn't care. Which is a horrible thing to say anyway, you know, on its own, regardless of the second bit.
Yeah.
The second bit compounds it, but that first part wasn't nice anyway. It's so disrespectful.
Yeah.
And I know he's, I know he's not saying he would do it necessarily, but he was saying he could.
Yeah.
And she wouldn't care.
And there's a difference between not caring and being told off for something you've done. Like, if your partner goes out and gets another girl's number and you didn't care, then that would be an issue in the relationship. Yeah. But if your partner goes out and get a girl's number and then you don't get told off, that's a completely different thing.
Yeah, you could have broken their heart, but they don't know how to tell you.
Yeah.
And it's not that they don't care.
Why do you need telling off?
He's getting confused a bit on, and maybe it's previous relationships he's been in, and he's been with girls who love to tell him off or whatever he's whatever he's used to. But Jay is a strong character. That's the thing. Like, she's not
a
pushover.
Somebody, I retweeted it this morning because I actually hadn't made the connection. It's quite obvious. He's been banging on about how she doesn't tell him off, and then he tells her off and he starts crying.
I wrote this down. He asked her to stand up to him. She stood up to him. He walked out of the room. I mean, I don't so much mind the crying. I love a man who cries. But walking out the room when she finally does stand up to him, it's like the opposite of what he said he wanted. Like, it doesn't make any sense. And also, like, bless him, like, the context was different.
I do think, I know, I don't think this is what you're alluding to when you said it about being orchestrated, because other people have said, oh, he's faking it and all this. He just didn't want to be at that dinner party because he knows karma's coming to get him.
Oh, really?
I don't think that. He looked fucking rough. I thought he looked pretty ill. Oh.
I just so felt for Jay, sat on her own. And then, you know, when people are starting to talk about your relationship, and it's horrible. Like, yeah, if you've ever been in a scenario where you've heard stuff that's been said and you've not been there, you're desperate to know what, but you don't want to look desperate to know what. And, like, you could tell that she was getting hurt by everything. And,
well, that was the same with the Laura and Arthur and Erica Jordan. And they were both like, see, they're still talking about us. And then you see Laura go, see, they're still talking about us. But we both just fucking talk to someone else.
And then there was, you did a tweet about this. Arthur said to Laura, said about Laura in a Vox of like, oh, but she's the most confident, beautiful, and Laura was like, I've never fancied you more.
Yeah, that was brilliant.
I think because she's used to having the upper hand, I guess, in the power dynamic. When he does say something like really strong about her, that must be lovely for her to hear.
I thought it was good that, not been involved much because they've not been there long, but Adrienne was kind of trying to make sure Laura could be heard.
Yes.
Because it was starting to get very volatile with Jay going, decibels. Because especially, you know, you've had a few midday Proseccos and everyone was starting to talk over each other. Everyone's just going, can I just say this? No, just fucking wait.
Well, and that was seemingly by the edit, especially Jordan was interrupting Laura a lot, and she was getting really frustrated about that.
I agree with a lot of what Jordan says. I just wish she had a bit more finesse in
the
delivering.
Timing, yeah. Maybe,
I think Thomas.
Timing.
I think Thomas was good because he did stand up in terms of the Laura and Arthur relationship. He didn't leave Jordan hanging out to dry. He said it wasn't just Jordan saying it.
I guess that was another example where I'm like, ooh, what have we not seen of Laura? Because I respect Thomas's opinion. For Thomas to wade in, for him to wade in and say, oh, no, it's not just him. I was like, ooh, this seems like it's got a bit of gravity behind it now that people are...
Yeah, this is the problem with it. We've just not really seen that much of Laura and Arthur interacting.
Not as a couple, no, we haven't. Not really.
Love and Hate Week. Where she told him, well, it turns out it was the right thing to tell him that one of his suggestions was completely incorrect. And then where they're in a sort of siege mentality because everyone's coming for them. Don't come for me unless I send you.
Oh, she was so close.
It could have been great.
But what's interesting about, so the two couples who got got sort of fired at the most this week was Peggy and George and Arthur and Laura. Mm. But Peggy and George, it drove a distance between them even more. And she had like her back to him and they weren't defending each other. Laura and Arthur came out stronger than ever.
Yes.
It was quite gorgeous to watch in a way of like they defended each other. And then she was saying at the end that she like really fancied him and it was quite cute. And like, it feels like they can take it and it's maybe brought them closer together. And I thought he defended her really well throughout the whole thing. Especially in her absence with the boys, he could have gone, do you think she talks to me like that? But he was like, no, she doesn't. Like, he defended her.
Yeah. He did.
Out of earshot. Whereas Peggy didn't really do the same for George.
No.
Which is fine. Obviously, I think George has just given her the ick and she needs to accept it.
So do we think they're leaving on Monday?
No, this is the
ceremony. I don't think they are. I think she's a diehard romantic and she's convinced herself that she can find the Prince Charming under the leopard print hot pants.
People were saying, look at the tan lines.
I know. Was that a tan line?
Well, there was debate. I didn't do a poll about it. I forgot. Were they tan lines or were they something under the leopard skin?
I thought he'd maybe rolled up. Yeah. I thought it was the hem because it was milky white.
It was proper white.
I thought he'd rolled up the hem on the hot pants.
Yeah, it looked like material.
The fact we're discussing this forensically is
wrong. George, we know you're listening. If you could just send us a tweet with the hem rolled up or was it tan lines?
Oh my gosh.
What do we... I don't think... they're going to leave. I think Peggy will definitely want to give it every opportunity.
I think they'll stay.
I wonder, we'll see. We'll see.
Do you think anybody's going to leave?
No, I don't.
Because people said those two that we just talked about were the weakest, but I don't think any of them will want to leave. And then Erica and Jordan seem really happy, although they had a little bit of a wobble this week.
Oh, their love and hate week thing. Yeah.
Oh, their argument. Yeah. That was like... neither of them were really
backing down
or really like listening to what the other person was saying.
To be fair, I missed that because our lovely bagel, our darling dog, was being annoying again, so I missed a fair bit of that episode, didn't I? I missed Erica and Jordan's love and hate, but I'm aware there was something, but now they're fine.
Well, I guess Jay might choose to leave.
I wonder how they will approach this on the commitment ceremony couch.
I was going to say, because there's a... we've seen from that little preview...
I never watched the previews.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Too
spoiler.
Much of a purist.
We always do this.
Dive!
We still haven't learned 5 weeks in. We always talk about the previews.
Cover
and Sarah's,
eyes.
I haven't heard them. I didn't watch.
Okay, well, there's some dramatic... goings on with
I don't think I saw the preview. Did I?
Yeah.
Oh, I did. Oh. I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Me going, I didn't watch the preview, and you going, well, something dramatic is going on.
No.
No shit, Sherlock. What a cliffhanger.
No spoilers, but there's drama.
Right.
No,
well,
I think next week with Jay and Luke's going to be interesting. I don't think Jay would put leave, though.
I don't think anyone's going to leave, to be fair. I'm really... like, this is not a nice side of my character, potentially, here, but I'm interested to see JJ and Ella on the sofa.
Right.
Because it's like, when they're actually under the spotlight as a real couple, what substance are we going to see to this, like, blossoming love story?
All we saw was them sat in bed... and him saying, did you sleep well? And she said, yeah, I can't wait to go for Jordan.
Oh, yeah. And JJ was like, I'll tell him to shut up. I'll tell him to shut up first.
Yeah, she's like, you've already done that. Let me.
And again, like, I do actually like Ella. I think she's like... like a good character to have on screen and like, you know, flouncy outfits and whatever. But I just don't buy their relationship necessarily. Or what are the foundations to it?
Their timeline was interesting, wasn't it? Or not timeline, sense of timing in terms of their relationship, because they kept saying they'd spent time together on the outside, it was amazing, now we're back in the experiment, we're doing this. It had been a week.
I wasn't even sure.
Like a literal week.
I wasn't even sure if it had been a whole week.
Yeah, maybe not. 5 days. I don't know.
I thought it had been like working week, like maybe four or 5 days.
5 days or something. It's amazing. It's amazing. I was thinking, well, it's like a few days. I don't understand.
Let's see what happens. What?
Okay, well, I think that's everything for now. We'll be back on Tuesday with another episode and interview. Oh, we're doing something special on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll tell you about that then.
All right. So, ooh, you
I
tease.
Mean, you should fucking know. I'm not just saying. I'll tell you about that on Tuesday. Follow us at Maths Hysteria on Twitter for live tweeting during the show, and on Instagram for other great maths content.
Comedy reels.
Yeah. Until then, goodbye from me, Omar Abid.
Goodbye from me, Sarah Clark.
Goodbye from me, Claire Limmer Abid.
Quick last question. Sarah, stick or twist with your podcast team?
I'm going to say stick.
Claire?
Stick.
Oh, okay.
What's
Go
yours?
On, Omar.
Well, I don't have another one to twist.
We have no choice.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.